Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power. Black power. My people, my family, my nation, black power. To you all, this is your brother, comrade in arms, soldier and warrior in battle with you, your brother Sean Kwali, broadcasting live to you once again from the hails and the smells of North America. I say again, black power to my people, wherever you may be in the hails of North America. It is once again an honor and a privilege to be talking to you. And I say, tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell a spouse, tell a loved one, tell your family that Black Power Radio is on the air. And no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's happening, no matter what they're talking about, no matter what people have to say, no matter what manner of evil steps up against us, one thing you can rest assured, we will be found pushing this mission through the hails and the smells of North America. We must say, first of all, that we love you, black family. We love you, and hopefully like you love yourself, but if you hate yourself more than you hate yourself, we are willing to put our lives on the line for you all and hope that you would be willing to do the same for us. We are definitely working to spread black love, to spread black unity, and, of course, spread black power. And, you know, we're coming up on it now. We are right at about really less than a week before we get into the national tribute to the Black Panther Party of the 1960s and the Black Liberation Army. We're talking about the national tribute. We're talking about October the 22nd in Harlem, New York, at A. Philip Randolph School. We're talking about a national tribute to some mighty warriors, to some mighty scholars, to some mighty soldiers, to hell, some of the boldest black men and women that you have ever laid your eyes on at any space, at any place, and at any time. And I'm not hyping that up. I'm not putting no fluff on that. You know what I mean? If you have studied the history of the Black Panther Party of the 1960s and what they call BLA, or the Black Liberation Army, then you know, like I know, I'm not hyping that up. And so we feel in the new Black Panther Party that it is time now. It is time to give tribute to those bold, beautiful brothers and sisters who have placed their lives on the line, many who have ultimately given the ultimate sacrifice, which is either their life in a physical sense or their life in terms of their everyday routine, and those who have ultimately become political prisoners and are, as we speak now, on this line, locked down, some, you know, 18 hours a day, some 12 hours a day, some 20 hours a day, some 23 hours a day, locked down, unable to move, shackled, tackled, you know, and held in the belly of the whale or the belly of the beast. And so we must remember those who have sacrificed for us, those who struggle for us, and those who are behind enemy lines, who all that they wanted for us, for the black man and black woman, is to breathe in a brighter sun and to have a better day after all that we have faced in terms of oppression, in terms of Jim Crow, in terms of the black codes, and in a modern context, in terms of the new age neo-racism. That's what I said. The new age neo-racism, the technological age racism that we face today, all of that is what we must pay tribute to and what we must talk about and what we must deal with on October the 22nd. And yes, it will be keynoted by our big brother, our brother, a member of the New York Panther 21, the New York Panther 21, the Panther 21. We're talking about our brother. He was formerly known as Brother Richard Moore. That was what he came in as. Left out as Brother Daruba Ben Waha. Yeah, Brother Daruba Ben Waha will be keynoting there along with another cold, bold soldier. Another cold, bold soldier. Talking about Ashanti Austin, huh? Ashanti Austin, another member of the Black Liberation Army and the Black Panther Party. And, of course, you know it wouldn't be right if we had them two brothers in the mix and didn't have a five-star general in the mix, doctor and attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. He will also be there, also be keynoting and also be given the words of encouragement. And I'm talking about it's a power-packed lineup. And I'm asking you all to come and talk to your brother. I'm going to be there as well, Sean Kwali. I'll be there in the house. Come talk to us. Come organize with us. Come build with us. We intend to set Harlem, New York on fire. On fire, October the 22nd. We are going to light a fire in Harlem, New York, that we don't intend to burn out anytime soon. And so it is a power-packed week coming up. It's a power-packed event coming up that you want to get your ticket for now. If you are anywhere near the area, you already know you should be in New York. You already know you should be in New York. Anywhere near that area, you know you should be in New York City. And if you are on the other side of the country, it ain't too late. It's not too late. Get your plane ticket now. Gas up the vehicle now. Go Greyhound. Whatever you got to do. Make your way there to A. Philip Randolph School in Harlem, New York, for the 22nd. And so I'm talking about this is beautiful because y'all know that the enemy has worked hard over the years. The enemy and even silly Negroes to a degree have worked hard to push and force a wedge between the membership of the new Black Panther Party and the Black Panthers of the 1960s. They have worked hard as hell to try to fabricate stories and to try to spread lies and outright propaganda and outright misinformation about the relationship concerning the Black Panther Party of the 1960s and the Black Liberation Army and the new Black Panther Party. And so we knew it was time now. We knew it was time to just step out into the world and step out for the black nation and show you a piece of black unity. You know, there was a song we used to sing in the church when we were coming up in the church. It was something like, "I'm so mad," or the devil's so mad and he lost his soul he thought he had. It was something like that I remember coming up. And it's the same way. The enemy, the devils are mad because you all cannot wedge the new Black Panther Party to the Black Panther Party of the 1960s. I don't care what nobody say. It don't matter. We know whose shoulders and works we standing on. We know whose labor, whose time, whose talent, whose efforts, whose ability, whose sacrifice, whose courage, whose care, whose obedience, whose militance, that we standing on. We know where we come from. The new Black Panther Party came up out of an era in 1989, right at the assassination of the National Minister of Defense of the BPP, Minister Huey P. Newton. We were formed in 1989 at the assassination of Minister and Dr. Huey P. Newton. We know where we come from. And so the enemy, of course, these beasts, would like nothing more than to continue with the propaganda machine and continue to produce the false evidence of there being a wedge between the two. And, of course, in any family, you have those who don't agree on everything. Hell, I don't agree on everything my father says. I don't agree on everything my mother says, but I love the both of them. I don't agree with everything my queen says, but I love her. She may not agree with everything I say, but she loves me. We are a family. And it does not mean that just because we don't agree on every single part and parcel and point here and iota there, that we are not one family. We are one family. The black nation is a family. And so the Panther in general, just the Panther period, is a family. We are family. And if you are part of the black nation, then you got to know that you are our family and that you Panthers. I want us to begin to start acting like Panthers. Begin to think, move, eat, sleep, read, dissect, and operate like Panthers. You say, well, Brother Sean, Brother Kwali, I haven't gone to a new Black Panther chapter and registered yet. Well, that's on you. Go ahead and do that immediately and get involved in the movement. But begin in your day-to-day activity and day-to-day life to act like a Panther. Act like a Panther. This is the only organization that has the legacy that it has the stance that it has within the House of North America. There were plenty of radical groups, don't get me wrong, that came up during the Civil Rights Movement and came up during times when there were what they call racial unrest. There were plenty of groups that did that. But the Panther Party was the only group outside of a group like the Deacons for Defense, technically, that came on the scene and said, damn it, if you act in an aggressive manner against black people and the black community, we going to blow your damn head off. That's the stance that the Black Panther Party took. I don't know, what this kind of friendly media machine is trying to produce of the Panthers, but the Panther Party was the only organization that would say off the pig. Oh, yeah, we was the only, and the Panther Party of the 60s was the only organization that didn't force you to, necessarily hold hands with the state and the establishment, but they were saying off the pig, sky is the limit, huh? Free Huey or sky is the limit. You know, this is the only organization that encouraged you to defend yourself in a real manner. See what I'm saying? You got a lot of groups and organizations that talked about self-defense, and they would do just that. They would talk about it from a, you know, scholarly standpoint or a commentary standpoint, but the Black Panther Party forced you to defend yourself when you were attacked. The fact about it is you couldn't even consider yourself a panther if you were in battle with the pig, in battle with the establishment, and you didn't fight back. We're talking about straight self-defense. If you didn't fight back and you didn't do battle when you were attacked, hell, you couldn't consider yourself no panther. How could you consider yourself a panther? The panthers out there pushing the Black Panther newspaper, and the pig would come up and smack the paper up out the soldier's hand, huh? And that soldier had to be astute in law and astute in politics and astute in statutes and astute in world history and political science and military science and warfare. That soldier had to be astute because that soldier, that Panther soldier, knew that it was a life or death situation. See, when we say today in 2010, freedom or death, that is not just a slogan that we wear over our patch. Hell, we are very aware, and every revolutionary is aware, that once you step out your door, there is a good chance that if this, that day for you may not return. That once you step out that door, you may be greeted by a bunch of, as the movie, Will Smith movie, say, a bunch of men in black. You may be greeted by a bunch of men and women in blue, and a bunch of people in bulletproof vests and badges and all kind of things. We, as revolutionaries, we know this. But as our ancestor, El-Hajj Malik Shabazz, Minister Malcolm X, as he taught, as he said in the interview, hell, the ultimate price of freedom is death anyway. And then the Black Power General, and we're going to deal on the Black Power General tonight, of course, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, he said, he took it up a little higher. He said that when we say freedom or death, we ain't just saying that either we get freedom or we die. We're saying either we are free and we go for freedom, or the oppressor and the devil and the beast and the pig has to go. There's no two ways about that. There is no two ways about that. Either you go for freedom or you're part of the establishment. Either you are about the rise of black people and you're about the rise of African power throughout the world, or as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad said, you the white man's nigger in 2010. There's no two ways about it. See, when you talk Panther now, there is no middle ground here. You can't be, as Minister Huey used to say, you can't be a pink panther. You can't be on the fence, I'm a strato, I'm a panther one day, no, I'm not a panther the next day, kind of brother or sister. When you a panther, you got to be willing to go all the way for your program, for your people, for liberation, because you are a part of an active, living, moving army. You're a part of a black military. See, for all of you soldiers who are so quick for the resource and for the money, so quick and ready to go and sign up for the white man's military and for the white man's draft and all of this, I would rethink that if I was you. I would rethink that if I was you, with all the injustice in the black community, with all the disarray in the black community, why won't you take up defense measures and mechanisms for the black community? Think about it. What sense does it make to be shipped away 9,000 miles and you won't even walk around the block and talk to the brother or the sister who needs your help more than the white power structure and the white man needs your help? We have a war that's going on right now. There's a war that's going on right now in the ghettos of America. They are war-torn areas. When you look at you know, documentaries and look at the aftermath and the after effects of war, and you look at the black community, and it's not much difference at all. You see rubbish, you see debris, you see filth, you see bodies laid out, you see all kind of stuff. But hell, let me say this. When you go through the black community, you see the same rubbish in many communities. You see the debris. You see the dead bodies. And then to even make it more serious, you see the chemical warfare. You see the biological warfare. All of this is real. It happens, and it's happening. So what sense does it make, family, brother and sister? What sense does it make to go strap up, to put bullets around yourself, carry grenades on yourself, to put combat boots on and put the fatigues on and go and fight for the machine and go and fight for the red, the white, and the blue? What sense does that make? And we have not even a nation of our own established yet. You might say, well, I'm an African, you know. Brother Kwali, I claim Africa, and hell, I claim Africa too. But let's be real. Africa's under U.S. imperialism. Africa is not even free. So if Africa ain't free, and you ain't free, and I ain't free in America, they're not free in black Chile, they ain't free in black Spain, they ain't free in black England, they ain't free in black South America, they ain't free, none of them places, then what the hell can we really claim? See, it was Paul Robeson. Y'all remember Paul Robeson, don't you? It was Paul Robeson that said, the battlefield is everywhere. The battlefield is everywhere. And until we can supplant our nation's flag, huh? Until you can supplant the nation's flag, see, that's what we're talking about, overtaking. We're talking about overrunning. Remember, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad say, he say, don't say lift every voice and sing, say lift every fist and swing. He said, don't say that I'm going to, we shall overcome. He said, say we shall overrun. Remember that? Well, when you overrun, that's when you can put your flag up on the pole. How many of us really envision the red, black, and the green up on the poles in the land? How many of us envision that? See, that got to be a part of our psyche. A part of our psyche has to be to see the red, the black, and the green established. Okay, but see, when you talk about establishing the flag of the red, the black, and the green, that's when many of us get timid and we get trepidation, because now you know you got a fight on your hands. Say, Brother Kwali, you know daggone well they are not going to just let us put the red, the black, and the green up on the pole. Well, damn it, that's why you're supposed to be a revolutionary. That's why we're supposed to be revolutionaries. This stuff ain't pretty, brothers and sisters. It's not supposed to be a joyous, oh, jolly good time. This is supposed to be warfare. This is supposed to be a battle, not a battle just in words, but a battle in deeds as well. But it starts with the words. Got our minds trapped up in everything. You know, they already killed us in religion. Killed us in religion. Killed us in psychology. Killed us in education. We got killed. We got dealt a death blow, and we critical. We critical. We in critical condition, and the medics with the electrical shocks ain't rushing to electrically shock the black nation. Hell, we got to shock the nation. See, when the Panther Party, and see, now mind you, it is a celebration now of the foundation and the founding of the Black Panther Party here on the 16th. We're celebrating. So when the Panthers marched on the hill, when they marched on the hill, where that old no-good bastard Ronald Reagan was standing out there at the then governor, when they marched on the hill, they went on the hill in uniform and in ranks because they knew that that would shock the masses of black people, that they would see all of these black brothers and sisters, these militant black brothers and sisters, disciplined black brothers and sisters, and they knew that they would be able to set an example of what everybody else should do. But see, here's where the Panthers messed up. And Minister Hoopy Newton talked about this in one of the books. I can't recall which one it is right now. I'll get you the reference. But in one of his books, he talked about how they messed up because they separated themselves from the people, ultimately. Ultimately, the Black Panther Party of the 60s became separated from the people that it said it claimed to liberate, that it came to liberate. And so us now, the new Black Panther Party, we are learning from the history. We're learning from the wheels of time. And we're saying to you, brothers and sisters, we ain't going to let you go. And you can't let us go. See, we got messed up because we got caught up in religious debates. We got caught up in confusions. And we wasn't looking at black first, black skin first. We wasn't looking at Africa first. We wasn't looking at original first. We were looking at our titles and our dogmas first. And see, the Black Panther Party of the 60s, they used to, they now don't get it twisted, they had spiritualities, but they didn't used to allow an individual to really pump their spirituality or their religion. Now, we got to give it some balance here. I'm touching on the subject here for a reason. Because they wanted to initiate black love and black love of self first. And you cannot say that you love me if you don't understand me. If I don't understand you, I don't know you. And the moment that I see you, I already got a barrier and a wall up because we disconnected from, you know, by religious barriers. Now, as our Baba, Dr. John Henry Clark, talked about, he said that when the white imperialists came in and even the white Arabs came in, he said that they used religion, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said they used the religion for overthrow. They didn't use the religion for unity and for, you know, revolutionary purposes. They used the religion for overthrow, for conquering. When you talk about Constantine, you talk about all of that that happened to Constantinople, all of that was for conquering and for overthrow. The white man used religion for his own military purposes. And today, they still use religion for military and political purpose. Now, the black man and black woman, we didn't have a need to use religion, quote-unquote, for military or political purpose. We always exercise different forms of our own expression or spirituality in harmony with nature and in harmony with each other. We always did that. And so we never tried to use it necessarily for a military or political purpose. And so we were able to exist in unity and harmony, and we got along for the most part in the mother continent. So when you had an oppressor like the white man that came and took the land with a religious purpose and a political idea, then after being colonized over periods of time and taking on the oppressor's religion, the oppressor's cultures, and the oppressor's God and folk ways and four ways, then we begin to pick up the same practices and habits. And so we don't get along today because of taking the white man's way of life, taking the white man's culture, and taking the white man's habits. That's why we don't get along, because we black on the outside, but we acting like the cracker, acting like the beast, acting like the devil. So the Black Panther Party didn't allow individuals to even really speak of their religion. Okay, Huey P. Newton had a religion. Bobby Seale had one. Well, they all had one. They all had spirituality. But when it came time to do the work, they didn't allow you as a Panther to get involved or overly involved in religious conversation, because historically, religious debates have not gotten us any damn way. They ain't got us nowhere. It'd be one thing if when we debated our spiritualities or our beliefs or what have you, if we got up and did some revolutionary work. But see, black folks have become so destroyed, so complacent, that when we get to revolutionarily quote-unquote, debating our religions and trying to overthrow somebody else's quote-unquote religion, then we lose ourselves because now it becomes about defending our ego and defending our position instead of advancing the flag. And while we are beefing and bickering and backbiting and slandering and this person don't know what they're talking about, blase, blase, we ain't advancing the flag. The red, black, and green has fallen to the ground. Fallen to the ground because it isn't properly placed upon the pole in all its glory as initially envisioned. See, when the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey gave us the red, the black, and the green, he gave that to us so that we could overthrow the red, the white, and the blue. That's what I said. He gave that to us so that we didn't have to say, well, the red, the white, and the blue is my flag. We didn't, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we didn't catch nothing but suffering, shame, and death under the red, white, and blue anyway. All right, so this ain't the start. It's been known. So when Garvey gave us that red for the blood, and when he gave us that black for Africans, for black people, and gave us that green for the land, he gave that to us so that we could have a flag of our own, huh? A flag of our own. Or for those who identify with the universal flag of the sun, the moon, and the stars, it's still a flag of your own. The point is you have to have a flag of your own. Got to have our own flag. See, you know that you are a nation when you're able to raise your own flag. When you're able to raise your own flag and protect your women and respect the women, that's when you can have your own nation. If you can't raise your own flag and you don't have no respect for the black woman, you can't talk nationhood. Raising the flag and disrespecting the black woman, you ain't gonna have a proper nation. Disrespecting the black woman with no flag, you're not gonna have a proper nation. They got to go hand in hand. See, when the white man come in, when the conqueror come in to take the land from the Aboriginal people, they came in surplanting their flag first, and then second, they came in taking the women. Came in taking the women. And when I say taking the women, I don't mean that in a light, nice way. I mean snatching and raping the black woman. Taking her. Taking possession of the black woman from the black man. And so all of this has passed down in a psychological way that now instead of the black woman even being in a position to be defended, now many of the black women are just running to the oppressor because the oppressor has established the system off of the backs of, of our people, and the oppressor lives oftentimes in a better position and condition than her own black man. And so she finds more security many times in the white man, in the white man's system, in the white man's world, than she'll find in her own mate, her own identical kith and kin god of her own nature and nation, the black man. So we got a lot to fight for, and the black woman has a lot to fight for as well. The black woman has to be willing to fight for the black man as well, because many of the brothers, instead of running head first and feet first to the black woman, we quickly run to the white woman. Before we run to our own sister, we run right to old Sally. What Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, he talked about Miss Straight Up or Straight Down. We run right to her because some of you old weak brothers, some of the weak brothers want to say, well, she don't give me no problem. The white woman, she doesn't give me any lip. She doesn't give me any issue. She just does whatever I say. Yeah, that's what whores do. That's what I said. That's what whores do. Whores won't challenge you. Whores will just let you do whatever you want to do, and they won't ask anything from you. The black woman, being a goddess by nature, will automatically demand from the black man that which her nature demands, which is to be maintained and made secure. That's her nature, just like it's our nature to be comforted and to be made secure in terms of our manhood by our woman. Okay, so the white man, again, back to the beast. Can't let the beast off the hook in this. And we're still talking about the Panther Party. Stay with me. Dale, the white man, the beast, snatched the woman. and the white man established his own flag on our own nation, on our own soil. You go to Africa right now, and in certain parts of Africa, you see the red, the white, and the blue. You see the red, the white, and the blue flying all through Africa, up there on the poles, all throughout the embassies. This is a damn shame that you got. We got black men and women fighting each other in genocidal ways in Africa, but then the red, the white, and the blue is flying high over there on the mother continent. Flying high on the mother continent. But the red, the black, and the green ain't flying high. We got to be reduced to just wearing damn wristbands, wearing damn, you know what I'm saying, wearing bandanas, you know, putting your red, black, and green earrings on, putting a red, black, and green tattoo on your arm. We reduced to doing that because we have not organized to snatch the goddamn flag off the pole yet. See, we're talking real talk. And see, this is what is... And this is what was at the roots of the Black Panther Party. The Black Panther Party started out completely black nationalist. Completely black nationalist. The Black Panther Party was straight up about the resurrection and revolution of black people. Don't get it twisted. Don't let anybody fool you and make you believe that the Black Panther Party was, you know, all of a sudden some multicultural, we all going to hold hands, we all going to sing songs together, we all going to live in an old integrated melting pot of society. See, that's what people say when they battle torn. When they have been beat down by the war. See, that's what people say then, you know, when they're tired. But see, that's why the old African adage was that it was the young men and the young women for the war, and that our elders were supposed to be counseling us. Instead of criticizing the NBPP, hell, we need the elders to counsel us if we in error some kind of way. If we in error some kind of way, give us counsel, give us advice, give us a better direction, a better way to do things, but don't try to crush our spirit. Don't try to crush the spirit because we don't want to have anything to do with the enemy, with the beast. Hell, we shouldn't want to have nothing to do with the enemy, with the beast. Well, see, when the Panthers were saying off the pig, it didn't sound like they want to have nothing to do with the beast. When they were saying sky's the limit, didn't sound like they would have had nothing to do with the beast. Huh? When they were saying that they wanted freedom, full and complete freedom, and that they wanted to be exempt from military service and this, that, it didn't sound like they want to have anything to do with the beast. The only time that they want to have to do anything with the beast was when it was convenient for some of the elders who didn't want to take the heat no more. And we understand to a degree, you don't want to take the heat. You didn't want to take the heat. But hell, let the young take the heat then. Let the new lions take the heat. Let us take the heat. But damn, give us the counsel. Give us the counsel. It was your program. It was the Panther Party's program that taught us originally that we wanted to remove the white man from the community. It was the Panther program that said that. The original, I'm not talking NBP program, I'm talking BPP program that said that they wanted to remove, and an end to exploitation by the white man in the black community. It said it straight up. But then once the heat came and once it became more convenient through the eyes of Eldridge Cleaver and some others to organize amongst the white alliances, they stretched out and tried to make white alliance, okay? Now, I'm just telling y'all straight up, history has already proven that any time that you try to integrate into white society that you will be rejected. And so even with the BPP's white alliance, it did not make the movement and the resurrection of black people any stronger. It only made us have to capitulate and not talk as strong. And so this time around, hell, we didn't make no white alliance. We don't make white alliance. We don't have no alliances with white folks. All right? We are straight up about black. We about Africa. We about the resurrection and revolution of black people. And if you ain't about that, you living in the wrong time. Because everybody else is about themselves. Everybody else is about themselves. Hell, I'm even saying to for real, for the Arabs. The Arabs will take care of themselves. The Chinese, they going to take care of themselves. Hell, everybody take care of themselves. So what do we look like not taking care of us and doing for us? So, yeah, the original Panther Party was black nationalists. You know how we know this? Because the ideological figurehead of the Black Panther Party, nah, it wasn't no damn Mao Zedong. The ideological figurehead was not Mao Zedong. The ideological figurehead wasn't no Gandhi. The ideological figurehead wasn't none of those. It was Minister Malcolm X. It was Minister Malcolm X, a Muslim, a student of the teachings of Elijah Muhammad, a straight-up black nationalist. That was the ideological figurehead of the Black Panther Party, and they considered themselves the sons and the daughters of Minister Malcolm X. They considered themselves the extension of the work of the unfinished business and work of black nationalism and black power of Minister Malcolm X. Now, here, they can water down the history if they want to. I'm talking about the establishment. They can water it down if they want to and act like, you know, they didn't know that Malcolm was the figurehead, but he's in all the pictures. He's in all the pictures. Anytime that you see a Black Panther Party office of the 1960s, you will see a picture of Minister Malcolm X. Okay? This is straight up. And so we bringing it back to the root. When you look at New Black Panther Party, I'm just telling you all like it needs to be taught. We are taking it black to the root. We don't need no white scholars. We don't need no Mao Zedong. You can learn from anybody. But here, all of that comes from Africa. And most of that knowledge, and damn near all of that knowledge, they stole from Africa. They stole from Africa, from our libraries. They stole it from us. And so if you go study it, you should be studying it for the reasoning of getting back what's yours. Getting back what was taken from you. You should be studying it to learn and to know about Africa. Not to, as the Black Power General say, get in the mirror and slant your eyes and start speaking Chinese with your African lips. We should be studying about Africa. And so the Black Power General and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz straight up tell you and tell us that we have to study it from a black-centered perspective, an African perspective. Whatever you're going to study, you have to make sure you study it as a black man and a black woman first. It's about black first. It's about black first. And see, the only reason, again, that the BPP even used Chairman Mao and the Red Book was to try to promote revolutionary theory through the BPP. That was the only reason. It wasn't because they so much identified with Chairman Mao. They wanted to spread revolutionary theory. That's all it was. And they were able to make a quick buck off of selling the Red Book. And it was Huey Newton that told you, in many of the books, and it was even printed in Seize the Time, even, I believe, that they said that you had to take, they took what was applicable in the Red Book and left the other stuff alone. All right, so I'm just saying, we can't get all spaced out with the BPP. The BPP was a real organization that knew what the hell it was doing, and they were some of the most premier organizers anywhere to be found in the world. They would organize the people. You had never been to a rally until you had been to a Panther rally. Now, we know that that spirit and that atmosphere is needed today. The Black Panther Party, the Panther is needed more in 2010. We should be thirsty and hungry to be Panthers and be active, acting like Panthers in 2010 more so than they were in the 1960s. But see, hell, as Malcolm said, many of us, we scared. We scared to bleed, hell, or even be opposed. But then in the same breath, we're going to say we revolutionaries. How are you revolutionary and you scared to make revolution? You scared to make war with the enemy. See, that got to be an opposer. This ain't something where everybody gonna agree with you on. If the state agrees with you, then you ain't doing something revolutionary. All of us in every city in America have little civil rights leaders or little civil rights activists that the state just loves. I'm telling y'all, it's in every city I go to. There's always a little community activist or a community little organizer that the state just loves. And the state gives him or her all kind of keys to the city, all kind of plaques, and it's just all great. And come and have coffee with us in the morning, and, you know. And so what I'm saying is, how are you revolutionary, but then you all hugged up with the state, man? You all hugged up with the mayor. You all hugged up with the, you know, with the car, you know, this person, that person. You just hugged up, and you ain't even making no waves. When you see the Panthers come through, if we next to somebody, it's because we dropping something on them. We trying to, you know, if you see us around some old congressman, some black congressman, we trying to push revolutionary ideas and black power into their mind. See, we ain't getting all hugged up with them just to be hugged up with them, just to be seen, just to be like I'm with the mayor. I went to the mayor's office, and the mayor welcomed me in, and the mayor sat me down, and we talked about the condition. Hell no, brother and sister. Hell no. If you serious, as the Black Power General taught us, we got to be agitating, man. He taught us, and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz teach today, that a revolutionary has to be willing to agitate and make change. You got to be willing to agitate and even, as Dr. Carlos said, even be willing to make your enemy discredited in the eyes of the people. We can't agree with nothing they say. Nothing they say. Damn, if they say grass is green, you say, no, hell, it's orange. I'm just making a point. You can't agree with your enemy. What do you look like agreeing with the enemy and talking about, I want to be free? All right, so the Panther Party is being tributed. We're tributing the Panther Party, but in actuality, we're making a tribute to ourselves. If you love the idea of the Panther, then you have to be willing to love yourself. You have to be willing to love yourself. You got to be willing to understand it's black first. It's black first. It's all about black right now. Because right now we last. As I heard, I think it was Imam Jamil Alameen. I think it was the Imam. No, let me take that back. It was our big brother, our ancestor. It was Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael. He has said that the establishment knows very well what black power is. He said the establishment knows very well what black power is because they have kept it from black people for 400 years. And then now we could bring the Imam in. It was Imam Jamil Alameen who said that the only politics that are relevant to black people is the politics of revolution. All right? The only politics that are relevant to black people is the politics of revolution. So I don't give a damn if it's election season. I don't care if we're talking about, you know, cleaner air, if we're talking about, you know, cleaner water. All of that's cool. All of that's needed. But at the end of the day, if you ain't talking revolution, you ain't talking the right politics. If you ain't talking about getting free, overthrowing your oppressor, getting the noose up off your neck, you ain't talking the right politics. You ain't talking right. We got to establish a nation of our own, but we in a captive land. And then you get these ones that say, well, you know, you can go back to Africa. Why don't you just get on a plane and go back to Africa, Brother Sean? You don't, nobody's holding you captive. You're not enslaved anymore. But hell, if white U.S. imperialism has reached damn near every corner of the globe, then that means that everywhere I go, I'm still going to see the influence of the snake, still see the influence of the power structure. So we ain't free. That ain't true freedom. You don't have true freedom when you can go all the way 9,000 miles across the sea and then still see the very same devils and Satans and beasts and Beelzebubs that you see right here in the hells and smells of North America. See, they don't like this kind of talk. They want you to talk like we all multicultural. We all multicultural. But if we all multicultural, then how come everybody ain't suffering in the same multicultural way? How come every other culture ain't been robbed and taken and robbed of their name and had their land taken and their language taken and, you know, their spiritualities taken and abolished and, you know, had their great monuments, noses, and faces blown off? How come the other cultures ain't went through that if we so multicultural? How come the other cultures ain't stood up and rose up for the black man and black woman if we so multicultural? It ain't as multicultural as you think. America especially is not as multicultural as they present themselves to be. You know for real, if you black in America, it's about your black survival. It's all about black survival because, hell, we can't even really, to be truthful, we can't even really go to the store without some kind of situation in most cases. If they don't even say nothing to you, they looking at you all crazy, asking you if you need help 1,000 times and, you know, can I help you and do you need this? And they ain't even trying to be, you know what I mean? They're not even trying to be helpful. They just trying to check you out because it's a security measure. It's a security measure. They know that if they ask you, can I help you 1,000 times, that they feel like that, you know, you won't do anything wrong because there's eyes on them, on you, pardon me. They got, you know, they got their eyes on you. This is a systemic racism. We are involved in a systemic racism. And for you cowards that just want to say, well, there is no racism in America, hell, just turn on the damn news. If you turn on the news, you'll see clear as day it's racism all in the very core and foundation of America, hell. Somebody just threw a damn book at Obama's head. What you think that was about? Because he had something in his teeth? You think they threw a book at Obama's head because they didn't like his haircut? No, they was showing their hatred and their disrespect for black. That's what it was. Straight up. Showing their hatred and disrespect for black. You know what I mean? I'm just telling y'all, they don't want nothing black. And he's not even a good representation of black power. He is not a representation of, he doesn't even consider himself a black president in the sense of representing black power and black interests. He doesn't consider himself that. And he's still facing a systemic white racism and blatant racist attacks. So you can imagine what we're going through on an everyday basis. Those whose third eye is awakened, you can imagine what we're facing. So this, again, just on that point, is reason why we must establish in every city in America Panther chapters. We must establish or reestablish Panther chapters in every city in America. And they have to be strong and they can't be no bullshit. Can't be no bullshit. It got to be a real Panther chapter full of the programs, survival programs, survival tactics, full of the organizing, full of the rallies, full of everything that's at the very foundation and core of the Black Panther Party. You got to think, why would the government move on an organization like the Panther Party? Why would the government move on an organization like the Black Panther Party? You know, it wasn't just for no rallies. It wasn't for no rallies. Hell, J. Edgar Hoover considered just the breakfast program alone a threat. He considered feeding children grits and cereal from revolutionary black revolutionaries a threat. Okay? And they spent monies. They spent monies in all kind of treasuries to totally annihilate what they saw as the greatest exponent or greatest chance at black freedom. Okay? So you know damn well, when the new Black Panther Party popped its head up, you already knew that the government didn't want us to pop our head up. You already know that there are those with vested interest in seeing us slandered and our operations moved on in every way possible, to see the works and the efforts of attorney and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz thwarted in every single way possible. And so why not use what they would consider the Black Panther Party of the 60s to try to, you know, misdirect and mislead those and make them think that there's some type of over-exaggerated gulf between Panthers. Panthers don't even have, let me tell y'all something, Panthers, real Panthers don't even have them type of disagreements. We don't even have them type of disagreements. And if we do have them type of disagreements, we're not going to disagree in the open for the joy of the enemy. We're not going to disagree in the open to the joy of our oppressor. If we have disagreements, we're going to go behind the closed door and hash out or at least discuss whatever's going on. We're not going to openly just disagree with another Panther in the public to the joy of the same oppressor that oppresses us all. That's how you know it's propaganda. That's how you know it's misinformation. Okay, and so that's why we are going October 22nd right there to Harlem, New York. Now, I mean, hey, you got to know that the Panther 21 just by itself is enough to write volumes on. We ain't even talking about those that was up north. We ain't talking about those in the Midwest, those down south. We ain't talking about the headquarters on the West Coast. We just talking straight up NY21 right now. Just NY21 is enough to write stories. I'm talking volumes of books on. Okay? They had these brothers and sisters hemmed up in court on what they consider conspiracy charges. Talking about that these brothers and sisters, you know, were trying to blow up some things and all this and all that. And see, this is where you had the brilliance of someone like an Afeni Shakur who got in court and represented herself against the system. See, y'all not hearing what I'm saying. They want to talk about black revolutionaries like we just some ignorant brothers and sisters in berets and we don't know nothing. We not, you know, savvy. This sister, Afeni Shakur represented herself in court, represented herself against the beast, and she won. I'm going to say that again. And she won. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's just one example. So when you look at a warrior seed like Tupac Amaru Shakur, later known as Machiavelli, the Don, hell, you see where he get it from. You see where Tupac Amaru Shakur got his fire from, got his vigor from, huh? Got his stance, his political ideology from. It didn't come from, you know, screaming about no gang shit. It didn't come from no gang nothing, no street tribe nothing. It came from the Black Panther Party. You know what I'm saying? Go back and get the albums. I know many of us is used to hearing All Eyes on Me. You're used to hearing All Eyes on Me and, you know what I mean, the mainstream albums that came out, ain't nothing wrong with that. But go back and get Tupacalypse Now. Y'all know, if you're a Pac fan, you should know about Tupacalypse Now. Go back and get Strictly for my niggas. Go back and get Strictly for my niggas. That's what he called it. He called it Never Ignorant Getting Goals Accomplished. That's what he. That's what his acronym for it was. Go back and get Me Against the World. Huh? This is Tupac Amaru Shakur. He said that he wanted for his records, his albums to be a battle cry to America. He said he wanted his albums and his record to be like it was how the newscasters were reporting on the Vietnam War. And he said that he wanted to put a stop to the warfare that was going on in the black community, and that if he put enough light on what was happening and how we were being kept out and kicked out, that there would be a stop in his mind put to it because he was shining the light on it. We're talking about Tupac Amaru Shakur, a straight-up Panther cub. But Tupac Amaru Shakur was not produced just by listening to no rap tape. He was produced by Panther training, okay? And out of all the tattoos that the brother had on his body, everybody talk about the, you know, thug life tattoo, which he had a meaning for that, you know what I'm saying? But in everything that he talk about, they rarely talk about the Panther tattoo that was on Tupac Amaru Shakur. The brother clearly lets you know what time it was. Clearly, even to the last album, to the very last album, talked about, you know, the song In This White Man's World, and, you know what I'm saying, everything he was kicking, downplaying religious beats and ideologies and talking about how we had to get real and everything. He was kicking you some Panther talk. Everything he kicked to you pretty much, you know, from the conscious or social perspective was from a Panther perspective. Okay? So I'm saying that to say that, you know, when you talking Panther talk, you're not producing something average here. Okay? The new Black Panther Party is not your average political party. I gotta say this. You can't say in the same breath Republican Party, Democrat Party, Tea Party, New Black Panther Party. You can't say in the same breath Green Party, Independent Party, New Black Panther Party. You can't say that. You can't say that. The New Black Panther Party is something completely different, something completely opposite of everything that they have out there for you to go up underneath. You say, well, you say you're a political party, so why wouldn't you be like the Democrats? Why wouldn't you be like the Republicans? Why wouldn't you be like the Green or the Independents? We're not like none of them because we're kicking it revolutionary. We're saying to you straight up, okay, if you want to vote, vote if you want to. That's your business. But we're telling you straight up, you ain't going to get no results and no real satisfaction out of vote. So we're saying that, yeah, you can vote. Your vote will count if you want it to count. But you're not going to get complete satisfaction out of no voting. You will get complete satisfaction out of tying up your bootstraps, putting one foot in front of the other foot, and making something happen. We got to make it happen on our own, okay? Not relying on the white man's system, the white man's government, the white man's voting process, his education, his health care, his politics, his money, none of that. We can't rely on none of that because all of that was used to enslave us. Everything that we use right now and we think that it's going to make us free, all of that stuff was used in our enslavement. All of that was used to keep us in the condition that we in. Everything, even really to a degree, even the marching and the picketing, all of that stuff, man, it was used as pacification to keep us, you know, unfocused on what's really going to make us free. Some of you out there waiting for space aliens. Some of you got nerve to tell me a space alien gonna come from the sky from some other spot and come and free us. You're literally waiting on a damn green alien something to come here and literally get this system up off of us and get this beast up off of us. You out of your damn mind. What in the hell would a space alien, a damn green alien, come to the hells of North America and save your black behind? Don't make sense. Don't talk to me about a space alien or some other far galaxy, the galaxy of Xenon or whatever this is, and you ain't talking about no black revolution. Don't talk to me about that. Don't talk to me about, you know, how to measure, you know, where how why the earth is, but you ain't talking black revolution. See, the reason why you know how much the earth should be is because you should be thinking about taking over the damn planet. You should be thinking about taking over the land. The reason why you should know how much the land is and how much the water is because you should be thinking about taking that. You ain't thinking about taking it. What you talking about it for? When the white man do calculations, they do calculations because they want to keep what they feel like is theirs. They want to keep theirs, but you won't quote. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got these ones that they get the lessons. And they won't quote. They won't quote all the lessons. They I know the lessons, brother. Let me quote you some lessons. But you ain't learned a damn lesson. You ain't talking about taking over the land, taking over the hearts and minds of the people, resurrecting your people, raising your people, raising the black nation, putting the flag on the pole. That's the point. If it ain't talking about that, we not talking the right kind of talk. Hell, don't talk to me about, Brother Kwali, I don't believe in a mystery God, but then you wait on a damn mystery God. I got to knock on that door, too. So I don't believe in a mystery God, Kwali. There ain't no mystery God. I don't believe in no spook, but then you wait on a damn mystery God. You say, well, who going to change your conditions? I don't know. Somebody going to come. Somebody going to come. Hell no. Hell, in all the religious systems, it say, God help those that help themselves. God help those that help themselves. If you ain't talking about helping yourself, you ain't talking the right kind of talk. See, we got to take our minds back to the African way, family. And see, when our African spiritualities were in check, when we were in check, then we were able to make revolution and make warfare. Okay, we'll come back on it. We'll take a quick call. 845-428, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question or your comment, Black Power.
Peace, brother. What's going on, man?
Peace. What's happening with you, soldier?
All right. This is Registered Black here, man. I was calling in. I just happened to, I was getting ready to jump on another show on Blog Talk when I see the new Black Panther Radio. This is what I'm talking about right here. This is something that needs to be brought out a little bit more promoted. I can represent something like this.
What's your thoughts on it, man? On your thoughts on the present condition of black people and what it's going to take to get us free?
Well, my present thoughts as far as the conditions of black people is basically that we are basically in the position, as far as our generation, we're in the position to be slaves for the rest of our entire lives. There will never be another Messiah created unless they create one. And the Messiahs that they have created for our black people are these rappers, all these hip-hop artists, the ones that are criminalizing and putting our children, our next generation, into enslavement. We have to basically fight ourselves in order for us to prosper as a group of or a race of people for independence. Liberation is definitely going to be a struggle. But when we've got the majority of people who are against us, our own liberation is going to become more of a fight within our own communities than outside of our communities. And regardless, black people look at me like I'm crazy because I wear the red, black, and green. I got it all in my car. I got it tattooed all over my body. I done lost jobs because of my representation for black people. They will never understand. And there's one thing I'm going to say, I would die for black people because I got that much love in our heart to see us do better. I respect anybody that stands up for us. I respect anybody that's willing to become a martyr. I respect anybody that's willing to stand up and say what the hell they got to say. But as far as everything else that's going on in this world, the media, the television, the radios, everything that has anything to do with propaganda, they are the ones that's going to keep us in the dark. They are the ones that's going to keep us as an enemy of truth towards those who will never understand, who will never even take the time to understand. We are just in a class of our own. But I personally feel that there's other ways that we can go ahead and get these things out, but it's just more difficult when the world is against us. And I just think that, you know, that's a worldly thing. When you're natural in the eyes of God, when you're definitely a God's child, the world is going to be against you because everybody out here don't know who God is.
Right. And they fighting against the God and the Goddess, fighting against the God and the Goddess.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm saying that this is what I'm saying. Is that, you know, because I'm like you. I got a red, black, and green wristband. I got the bandanas. I got all of this. But I'm talking about we're going to put this red, black, and green in our heart. And then we got to move to advance it and move to advance the flag to the polls. I want us to really begin to think about advancing red, black, and green flags on the polls of America.
You know what?
Straight up on the poll, bro.
Yeah, brother, man, America would not even be able to handle that. Black people would not be able to handle that. And let me tell you why. Because you got too many African Americans and you got too many Negroes. Those two classes of black people are going to be totally against black people. So it's different. When you got us who can see, especially the Black Panther Party, the original Black Panther Party was an example. America turned them into the enemy. When they were only trying to establish something for us, like these Jews have established for themselves in this country. But see, the reason why Black Panther Party has not been able to do what they was able to do back in the 60s is because they need niggers to stay in the place of niggers. And that's the reason why you will never see an uprising ever again like the 1960s. We were too strong then, whether we were revolutionary or they were bowing down to eat from the crumbs of the white man's table. Either way, black people came together in unity, and they don't ever want to see that again. So what they decided to do was neutralize us. And as long as they got us neutralized, now we got our theme music. And that's where all of this rap bullshit comes in. So either way, no matter what we do, I think Stokely Carmichael said it the best. We got to off these motherfuckers in order for us to do what the hell we got to do. We'd have to fight each other a lot harder and get rid of everybody in our culture that would totally bring us down and keep us at our, you know, with their feet or their knees on our throats. These people are the ones we got to get rid of in order for us to go ahead and do what we got to do. See, I'm a warrior for life. That's just me. I'm a warrior for life. I'm a warrior for life.
Warriors recognize warriors, and so
that's right, man. I'm a warrior for life.
Seeing you on the battlefield. Are you anywhere near the New York area?
Actually, I'm in Middletown, New York. I used to live in Monticello, New York. Now, this is the question I actually have for you. I was supposed to have joined the new Black Panther Party a year and a half ago because I had ran into a brother named Brother Hebel. Please tell me you know him.
Brother Hebel, you said?
Hebel. He didn't tell me his real name, but it was Hebel. He told me he was out of the Harlem chapter around 125th Street. He was giving me everything that I needed to know. He told me what I needed to do and everything like that. And I totally lost contact of him, Brother Hebel. He was talking about the BLA was supposed to be starting back up and everything.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the brother by that name, but it don't mean I don't know who it is. But
I think he was like a chairman of education or something.
Okay. Yeah, you know, but we said that was a year ago.
This was about a year and a half ago. Hebel, H-E-B-E-L. Brother Hebel.
You sure it ain't Hannibal, Brother Hannibal?
No, Hebel. He used to run with Dr. York for a long time.
Okay. I'm going to have to figure out who you're talking about. But I say this, man. If you didn't get a chance to put in no application or nothing like that or get going, then just email the headquarters. You got the headquarters email?
I don't have anything, man.
You got a pen and paper?
I don't have anything. Hold on a second. I'll do this right now.
I even make
Black Power music, man.
What you got to do is make sure I get some of your music so I can play you on the show. That's how we do that. And then when you get the CD out, hell, we spread the information to the Black Nation.
Brother, man, let me tell you something, man. When you hear this CD, you're gonna be tripping. My name on the CD is Furious Styles, but I just basically changed my name to Registered Black Gamba. Let's see, Hebel is the one that told me the first thing that I got to do is I got to get rid of the white man's name. I got to find a name that's going to fit me. So my African name is Gamba Zuberi, which means warrior strong. That's my name, Gamba Zuberi. All right, hold on one second. Let me
We pause for that kind of calls, brother. If you, like I'm saying, if you in the New York area, you know we're doing a tribute. I don't know if you know, but we're doing a tribute to the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army on the 22nd in Harlem, there in Harlem, at A. Philip Randolph School. So make sure that, you know, you clear your schedule to be with us. It's going to be at 6 o'clock. That's when it's going to start. So be with us.
What's the email address?
All right, it's NVPP.
NVPP, like Negro Volunteer?
Nah, NB, like New Black Panther Party, just the New Black Panther Party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, NVPP.
NVPP, New Black Panther Party. Mm-hmm.
HQ, like HQ. Headquarters, NVPP HQ.
Yeah.
At yahoo.com. And just email communications office and let them know that you ready to get down. You ready to make a move.
Yeah, I mean, he gave me the 10-step program and all that. Well, he didn't give me the new update. He didn't give me the updated 10-step program because he said it was a lot different from the old one. But,
Well,
is this you or this is just the party?
What do you mean? Is what me?
This email address. This is the party or this is you?
That's the national email address for the national headquarters.
So yeah, I bet you make people nervous email. Listening to that. You got somebody calling in, but he's a bam.
I mean, that's what it is. You just email my communications office, and then we'll get you going, bro. Right where you are.
You already
rolling as it is, so hell, we just...
Yeah, I learned everything on my own, man. I started as a youngin' listening to X-Clan, so that's what started me.
Okay.
Between X-Clan, the Public Enemy, man, Brother Ark and all them, man.
X-Clan got many of us fired up and rolling. X-Clan and P.E., King Son, all them. All of them. You know what I'm saying? Poor righteous teachers. I mean, we're going to do a whole show to the revolutionary hip-hop here soon.
Yeah. Matter of fact, you got to get the new X-Clan albums. The last two on Mainstream was the Mainstream... I forget what it was. It's two new albums they had that came out the last couple of years, man. It's bananas.
I heard some of it, but I don't have the whole thing. Let me make sure you got it so I can move the show on, but we going to definitely deal with it. You got the email?
Yeah. You got something I can send you? I'll send you a track right now.
Just send it. Like I say, if you send it to the email, can you just put it in a file in the email?
Yeah. I'm doing it right now.
Okay, just send it to me, Sean Kwali, at the email, NBPHQ, and then I'll put it on. Don't even worry about it. I'm not one of them hating DJs. I want you to get on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good.
So what was your name one more time for the listening audience, brother, so we know who you are?
Yeah, registered Black Gamba.
Yes, sir.
That means a registered Black warrior, also broken down as RBG, red, black, and green.
Yes, sir. Brother, registered Black. My pleasure to have you on the show, big brother. Continue to listen. Continue to organize. Continue to build, man. Look forward to being in the trenches with you here shortly, brother.
No doubt.
Yes, sir. Peace and Black Power,
soldier. Oh, don't run down, man. Black Power, peace.
Black Power, peace and blessing. That's our family, brother, registered Black. And y'all hearing from the Black Nation. The Black Nation is presenting itself, and the Black Nation is coming forth ready for war. That's how we got to do it. That's how it has to be done. That's what I'm saying. We have to advance the flag. Got to advance the flag. When the cracker go to war, they go to war for the express purpose, of course, of resource, of land, of whatever, but ultimately they are working to advance the flag. So, hell, we got to advance the red, the black, and the green. It's RBG, so we got to advance the flag. And I'm saying again, and I know full well what my comrade, Register Black, is saying. They not going to want that because of the Negroes. And I know what you're saying, comrade, but I don't give a damn. We can't give a damn. We have to meet and overcome the obstacle. We got to meet and overcome all obstacles in our path. You got to first have a vision. I ain't forgot about the mystery God worshipers. I'm going to get back on that in a second. But I'm just saying, we have to talk about advancing the flag. Advancing the flag in a real way, okay? And that means you're going to piss somebody off. Now, what we were saying, we was talking about people who, you know, is doing all this quoting. You know, you got the ones that they'll quote you actual facts. You got the ones that say they don't believe in no mystery God. They waiting on a mystery God. Then you got the ones that they just super ultra black nationalists, and they just super ultra black nationalists, but they ain't going after the land. And you know what I'm saying? We got a lot of confusion that's happening in the black community and in the black nation. Whole lot of confusion. And it really ain't nothing to be confused about. It ain't nothing to be confused about. Either we free or we ain't. Either we are free in our own land, independent of the white man's operation, or we ain't. And it's obvious we not. We're not free. So what are we arguing about? That's like us being on a slave ship. We are on the slave ship, shackled down, tied together, and we're going to beef with each other over who got the largest shackles on their ankles. My shackle bigger than your shackle, nigga. Crazy as hell. Nah, we should be talking about overthrowing the slave master, overthrowing the oppressor, overthrowing the ship captain. We ain't talking about overthrowing the captain. Because, you know, some of us don't like the fact that we saying the white man is the devil. Now, all of a sudden, the white man ain't the devil no more. The white man was the devil. It was good enough for your grandmama, good enough for your great-grandmama, your grandpa. But now in 2010, because of some technology, because of TV, and radio and serious radio, the white man ain't the devil. You out of your mind. Hell, that means if you go from dial-up to broadband, you should be able to quickly now understand why the white man is the devil, why the white man is Satan, why the white man is the beast and the enemy. You should understand this. You should understand quickly now in a technological age what should happen to the Uncle Tom Negroes who sell out the best interests of our people. We should all know this. We should know this, but hell, we want to be soft. We want to be soft. We want to be nice. We don't want to upset nobody and hurt nobody's feelings, but then we want to talk about black power. Nah, it's not the same thing. Black power is going to upset some people. Black power is going to hurt some people. Black power is going to make people feel uneasy, uncomfortable. Black power is going to make people want to cry. It's going to make people run. It's going to make people shake and shiver. Black power is real. Again, the establishment know what black power is. The establishment work every day against the black man's power and black woman's power. Work every day. They know what true black power look like. If we had true black power, they wouldn't even be really in existence, to be honest. The establishment, the state, and the beast wouldn't even really be in existence because black power wouldn't allow it. Black power is not going to allow anybody to overthrow its own interests. Black power can't allow that. All right? So enough with this dead movement. That's what I'm getting at. That's the whole point. Enough with the damn dead movement. We got to get off into a black power movement. Enough with the dead movement. Enough with the dead stuff. Enough with the Negro stuff, as the black power generals say. We got to get off into a black power movement. I'm telling you straight, man. Garvey, Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and the rest of our ancestors did not give up their life and sacrifice for us to be a part of no damn dead movement. When Garvey said there were cubs in the bush, when he said there were cubs in the bush, you think he was thinking about some weak-ass cub jumping out the bush? Some old pussy cat jumping out the bush, like, well, you think that? No, he was talking about some soldiers, some warriors. He was talking about some sister soldiers, some sister warriors that wasn't going to play with the beast. He already had said, look for him in the whirlwind. Ain't no such thing as a nonviolent whirlwind. Go along to get along whirlwind. Garvey already told you, he already knew that when they moved on him, that there would be others that were supposed to come behind him tougher and stronger and bolder than him. Hell, all of them knew that. Even W.E.B. Du Bois knew that. Booker T. Washington knew about that. They all knew that. All of our ancestors knew that. They all knew that. But we're going to let them down? We're going to let them down in the name of being we too hard? We too hard? We too tough? We upset. We make the white man turn red. We shouldn't call the white man a cracker because we don't want them calling us niggas. We've lost our minds, man. They call you a nigger whether you call them a cracker or not. They call you a nigger regardless of whether you call them a cracker or not. You hear what I'm saying? It happens without you even being aware of it. It's systemic. It's in the system. And so, you know, you can be multicultural if you want to. That's what I'm getting at. But I'm telling you this, that the black man and woman must rule everything. We must rule it all. And so we got to get back to the basics. We got to get back to the nation raising our children, the nation raising itself, and us raising each other. We must begin to lock arms and lock the black community down. Now look, now let's talk, because it's not like I'm talking idealistic in a sense of I don't understand that there's, you know, in many corners a black dope man out on the corner. I don't understand that there's gang violence. It ain't like I'm talking like that. We know there's black capitalists in the community. We know there's black violence in the community. You know, we know there's black rapists in the community. We know all of this, man, but I'm saying, damn, deal with it. I'm not saying be any more less lenient on a black capitalist than a white capitalist. I'm not saying that. I'm saying put the heat on them bastards too. Okay, revolution don't know no compromise. Put the heat on them too. See, that's what I'm saying. The spirit of the Panther has to rise in North America. The spirit got to rise. The spirit of resistance in the black man and woman has to rise. The spirit of revolution has to be cultivated, and revolutionary culture has to be recreated in black America, quote unquote. It's got to be recreated because it's being watered down. They're watering down revolution. You know, they got all these terms now. You know, you got a cultural revolution. You have a fashion revolution. There is an industrial revolution. They want the revolution on everything except black. The black people, us, we the only ones ain't had no revolution, a real revolution. We the only ones ain't really engaged in battle. We ain't. everybody else in the world engaged in battle some kind of way, shape, form, or fashion, and black folks just chilling out, man. We hanging out. You know what I'm saying? We just kicking it. We doing our thing. But then, see, now you got a, you got what you call a revolutionary community. Like Brother said, you got a an RPG community. You know what I'm saying? You got a BPP community. You have a straight community that needs to be tougher, rougher, and bolder than the damn, even the damn dope boy on the block. We should be so tough, so bold, and so rough that we make a damn dope boy feel a damn shame to even peddle the white man's filth in the community. Why is it that, you know what I'm saying, you come to the revolution and now all of a sudden you want to be, you know, you ever seen the men that find spirituality? You know what I mean? Certain, I guess I would say white spiritualities, they find white spirituality, they just become so damn soft, they start waving their hands off, sissified, the damn choir directors, sissified. You know what I'm saying? We get like them, we come to the revolution, then we just get so soft, and we just, you know, in the name of being humble, we just so, you know, so meek and so, oh, yeah. No. Hell, the black woman wants the black man to be a man. Hell, the black man wants the black woman to be a woman. Hell, everybody waiting to damn stand up. You don't got to be no hand-waving faggot in the revolution. You got to be serious, and you got to be willing to organize. That's what I'm saying. You can't be soft with this. You can't compromise with this. You can't back down up off of this. Can't be no back down. We don't have nothing else. Because, look, our babies are losing their lives in the streets. Our babies are losing their lives in the streets. And really, you are me because we have not taken or overtaken the reactionary forces of the world. We could lose our lives. We could lose our lives because we have not overtaken the reactionary forces of the world. See, it's bigger than even just the pig. The pig is a reactionary force. All right, but what about the reactionary businessman? What about the black capitalist? What about the land grab? What about the gentrification? What about all of that? See, that's why we say 10-point program. We got 10 points, and it ain't solely just 10 points, but we got 10 main points that's the meat and the heart of the whole situation. Then you got others that, you know, they may agree with one, but they don't agree with other. Well, you know, Brother Kweli, I don't know about this thing about reparations, you know, like why should we have reparations? Why shouldn't we have reparations? Why shouldn't we have reparations? Why don't you want reparations? And I ain't, like I say, we're looking at it from the perspective of the black power general. Yeah, the black power general, hell, told us that it's more than just talking about some dead peckerwood presidents on paper. That's more than some dead peckerwood presidents. Reparations ain't just getting some dead peckerwood presidents. That's a cheap version of revolution. Some money, that's cheap. I mean, that can't be all it is, because if that's all it is, then once you don't have no money, or once the money's gone, then your reparations, your repair, and your revolution is over. We ain't just talking, especially for you white folks that's listening to this, like, oh, well, you know, I'm paying taxes. I don't want to, you know, we're not just talking about your money. Hell yeah, we're talking about money, but not money solely, see? Because, again, now we're talking about land. We're talking about land. And as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad taught, we're talking about a life for a life. A life for a life, a limb for a limb, as the scriptures say. We're talking about if you kill my dog, I'm killing your damn goldfish. Huh? If you kill my damn hamster, I'm taking out your damn guppy. I'm telling you. That's what we're talking about, healing in the repair, healing in it. Got to be healed, family. We got to get healed because it's obvious we are all the way destroyed. Now, back to the tribute in Harlem, New York. This is historic. Now, again, the Panther Party around this time, right around this time, was formed in 1966. in 1966, right around this time, that's when the Panther was first established in Oakland, California. But it began in the U.S. through a movement in Lowndes County, Alabama. See, it came from the South. Started all the way from Lowndes County, the Panther symbol, the Panther movement, and the self-defense for blacks started down South in Lowndes County. They don't really talk enough about Lowndes County. They talk more about Oakland because Oakland was the first rise or regiment of the Panther to really go after the power structure in terms of the pig, in terms of the police. But you got to know that Lowndes County played a part in the rise of what you see in Oakland, California in 1966. Okay? And so just as Lowndes County produced the rise that happened in Oakland and happened there in San Francisco, because they don't talk about them either, you got to know that what happened in Oakland produced us that happened in Dallas, Texas, okay, in 1989. Okay, everything produced the next. Everything produced the next. Everything is on a divine chain of command and chain of events. Okay, everything. All right, and so, hell, whatever regimen comes up in today's time of Panther, it will be a regiment of Panther that will be slicker and quicker and more bold and more courageous than even those that came before. Because everything must be stronger and bolder until it reaches its eventual perfection and until it reaches its freedom. All right, now let's talk about today in 2010 in terms of the white supremacists. Because now, you know, you really have people that don't believe that the KKK still exists. They don't believe that the neo-Nazis exist. You don't believe that the white right-wing extremists exist. You don't believe none of that. You think we just making this stuff up, that it's just something in our heads that we just, you know, we're just fantasizing about. No, this stuff is real. You know, they had a mandate that came out where the KKK a while back in the day, was saying they wouldn't don the white sheets as much, but that they would go for civil office. They would, you know, become police officers. They would become judges. They would become lawyers. And so you wouldn't see them so much in the outright white sheet uniform, but that you would see them as they pulled up on you behind your vehicle. You would see them as you go to the court for whatever criminal judicial system there would be. You would see them as, you know, they would be in public offices and as public officials. And so the KKK and the white extremists have moved into areas of authority, so-called American authority, to exercise their brutality on blacks. Case in point, you look at Oscar Grant. Oscar Grant was assassinated. Stop going around talking about Oscar Grant was murdered. Oscar Grant wasn't murdered. Oscar Grant was assassinated. Oscar Grant was assassinated right there on the railway system, right there on the BART railway system. Assassinated. Okay? Why? Because the white extremists have moved into American positions of authority, and now the green light has been lit for a while, and the green light is open to assassinate black people wholesale. And then the system will back up the assassination and say that it's justifiable homicide, that the officer or the person in charge was acting in self-defense on their own accord, and that, you know, a person like Oscar may have flinched the wrong way and threatened the officer's life. Now, let me say this. How was it that you and me, as Panthers or revolutionaries, we scared? We don't want to, you know, protect ourselves. We don't want to bear arms. We don't want to, as the Panther Party of the 60s said, we don't want to talk about offing the pig, but the pig is talking about offing us. I'm going to say it again. You don't want to talk about offing the pig and the oppressive forces and the power structure, but the pig and the oppressive forces are offing us. With all the revolutionary talk that's going on, is the defense for the black man and black woman. With all these people, you know, I see you on YouTube. You got your little kung fu karate YouTube videos up, and you showing how you gonna break a down piece of wood, and you gonna break through the concrete and all this type of shit. You gonna, I mean, pardon my correct English, but I gotta call it like it is. You gonna break through the damn wood, but then somebody pull over a black brother and sister in the black community, and we be driving right past the pullover. I don't understand it. You know what I mean? I don't get it. We drive right past the pullover, but we martial artists, we warriors, we revolutionaries, and see that's why I drew your mind and drew your attention to Tupac Shakur. Now look, if you're gonna YouTube a video, YouTube the video, holler if you hear me. YouTube that video. Where in that video, as he took heat from the record label, but it was real. In that video, he shows a young boy who was locked up, you know, he was arrested by the pig for whatever reason. And he shows a man who comes up to the pig squad car and blows the brain of the pig out right there in the squad car, and he opens the door and lets the little black boy go. Okay? I'm just telling you what Tupac Shakur had in his video. Okay, if you go on YouTube videos, as Dr. Khalid Muhammad say and Dr. Malik Shabazz say, YouTube some revolutionary videos. That's why the Black Power General said that, hell, you know, he didn't like the movie Sankofa. Y'all remember the movie Sankofa? He said he didn't like the movie Sankofa. He said because we sat there and watched the beast rape the woman, rape our black sister through the whole movie. Got raped through the whole movie. Got abused through the whole movie. Black people mistreated through the whole movie. And then when it came time for that time he called payback time, he say then, oh, so they want to switch to another scene. You know what I'm saying? Well, you just have to imagine what happened to the Peckwood, to the beach. You just got to imagine it, all right? He said, don't give me no movie like that. And I agree. You don't give us no movie like that. If we're going to watch our sisters be abused through the whole movie of Sankofa, then hell, when it comes time for payback time, when it comes time for that revolutionary time, that time that's called revenge time, then see that damn, as he say, see that damn cracker's head roll all down the movie screen. He said there should have been so much blood coming up out the screen. He said you would have had to cover your popcorn. He said, that's the kind of revolutionary movie you got to give us, man. You got to give us that kind of movie. You can't abuse us through the whole movie. And this goes out to you movie directors listening. Don't show us being abused through the whole movie, and then when we strike back, then switch to another screen, and we got to wonder what the hell happened. But you're going to show our women being raped and misused and abused and our people abused through the whole movie? Nah, show the enemy's head rolling down the damn street. Show the damn beast body dropping, bloody body dropping after they have abused our women and children and men through the whole movie. We just talking about a movie. See, we just talking about a movie. Not even to mention real life. Just a movie. It'll give us some revolutionary action. And see, that's what I'm saying. That's why you got to get your spirit up, because America will kill your spirit. If you stay in America long enough and stay in the ways of America, America, the system of America, will kill the black man and woman's spirit. It will kill your spirit. It will make you drown and die in your blackness. It will make you suffer silently because you don't know how to fight, which way to fight, and where to fight. Okay? So what I'm saying is this. We got to get our spirit up. We got to get our revolutionary fervor back. We didn't come to this movement to lose, man. Did none of us come to this movement to lose? None of us became Panthers. None of us is in the revolutionary culture to lose. We all came to win. We all came to change history, make a difference. Well, goddammit, we're going to have to do that. It ain't going to happen by waiting on no ghost, man. That's why I love the Ghostbusters theme song. I love the Ghostbusters theme song where he say, I ain't afraid of no ghost. I ain't afraid of no ghost. I ain't, look, man, I'm telling you straight up. I used to always say to people when they would talk that old mystery guy talk, that old, you know, spirit spook talk, they would say, you know, this is the spirit going to come down and do this. I say, if I see the spirit, I'm going to hit him in his mouth. I'm going to hit him in the mouth. That's what I say about the spirit. If there is a spirit, if there is a formless spirit that's floating around in the sky, and the damn formless spirit see us in this condition and won't come down and wherever the damn spirit is at and help us out of this condition, it deserves to get the spiritual stomp of its life. For real. Because we've been going through this for over 400 years, and the damn spirit is sitting there looking and being a spirit. Hell no. The black man is God, and the black man, the black man is God, and the black woman is goddess. Straight up, the black man and the black woman is God and goddess. And we got to be gods and goddess of our own planet and our own condition. We got to start making this talk real, man. Got to make it real. Can't just be talk. Can't just be rhetoric. Can't just be something we thinking about. It got to be real. We got to be showing it in our actions. It got to be seen in our action. Shouldn't nobody walk up on you or walk up on me and not feel our revolutionary presence, not feel our revolutionary spirit, not see our revolutionary fire and desire. Shouldn't nobody walk up on us and not feel our courage, man? When you looked at Minister Huey P. Newton, Chairman Bobby Seale in his best days, or any of the Panthers in their best days, you saw the revolutionary fervor and revolutionary spirit in them. I mean, even, of course, especially in our sisters, in every Panther sister that you saw the revolutionary spirit and the revolutionary fervor right there. You saw them right there. You saw it in their eyes. You see it in their skin. You see it even in the picture. Look at the picture of Huey P. Newton sitting in the wicker chair with the leather jacket on. You see the spirit and the fervor in that man. But today, hell, today, you know what I'm saying, we look just as damn soft. I mean, I'm talking about, I see this. I be seeing this, you know, we be on Facebook. We be you know, you got these revolutionaries, they be flashing guns and all this kind of stuff on Facebook. You look soft as hell. Look, you look just damn soft, man. I'm talking about even with your gun. Just look all, you know, you know how they got that picture of the so-called Jesus and he looking all sissified and soft and, you know what I mean, like he supposed to be on a butter commercial. You know, you look like that, man. It's like, look, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to practice your mean mug. You know what I mean? This stuff got to come from the heart. That's what I'm trying to say to you. It got to come from the heart. Every revolutionary act, Guevara said, is an act of love. It got to come from the heart. Your fervor, your spirit, your revolutionary consciousness, all that's going to come from the heart. If you love black people and I love black people, that's going to show. That's going to show. Let me take a quick call here. 502-650, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. Your question or your comment, Black Power.
Black Power, brother, how are you feeling today?
Hey, I'm feeling great. How about you, comrade?
Oh, well, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I just wanted to tell you, man, everything you're saying was great. And we do have to get our revolutionary spirits back up because we have lost it. And we seem like a lot of brothers and other brothers seem that we don't have no hope and that we cannot win. But we can win if we stick together and we come together, as you know, and start to build in our own community.
Exactly. We got to get our spirit up, man, because America's killing our spirit. If you really look at it, America is killing black people's spirit, and it's killing our will to resist. You know what I mean? Even if, you know, especially for our brothers and sisters that are in the concentration camps, the penitentiaries and whatnot, hell, we living like we in the penitentiary on the streets. We in the penitentiary on the streets. You know
That's
what I'm
right.
saying? So, hell, our spirit, man, we got to get our spirit up, bro.
That's right. We do need to get our spirit up.
you know, because, we're not going to get free by singing. We're not going to get free by marching. We're going to have to get free by revolution. We're going to have to change certain things. If we going to change something, if we don't change our community, somebody else is going to do it. So we can't just sit around and wait on somebody else to do it. We got to look within ourselves and find that revolutionary spirit in us.
Straight up, man. That's what I'm saying. I can't cut no corners with it. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got to get that true Panther spirit. That's all. I can't cut no corners.
Right.
Got to get the true Panther spirit, man. The Black Panther Party did not sacrifice for us to not be real Panthers. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about in 2010. Didn't sacrifice, man. None of our ancestors sacrificed for us to be slapping around their legacy and be in the way that it is today. You know what I'm saying? So what are we going to do? You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, you know, you're right. We can't, they didn't set up for us to sit around and do a lot of playing. I know that a lot of people are playing with this, you know, like it's a joke or like it's a game. This is no game. This cracker is not playing. This cracker is killing unarmed black people every day. This cracker got plans, you know, to put different, got different wars, you know, he's putting on black people, all different types of fronts, you know, and we sitting around here playing like this cracker is just sitting around here, like he ain't nothing. So we're going to have to get our asses up and realize that this cracker is not playing. And it's time for war, and it's time for us to start, to start living our life as revolutionaries. You know, every day we wake up in the mirror, we should say, I am a revolutionary. And we need to start believing that in our hearts. You know, I'm not saying that it's not good to have tattoos on, but all these, getting all these tattoos and thinking that's making you a revolutionary. What's making you a revolutionary, like you said earlier, is the dedication of your heart. And how it's the love. That's what's making you a revolutionary. So when you realize that and you go in that mirror and say, I am a revolutionary, then you're going to start to believe it, and then you're going to stop playing and playing games and faking around with this, because this shit is real. The enemy's trying to take us out. The enemy's trying to, the enemy's trying playing every type of trick he can play to do us in. Researchers, pumping AIDS in people, giving people high blood pressure. I was reading on the web page, and they were saying that it's more AIDS in the black community than it is Mexicans and whites. So they got a plot for us. So we don't try to do something to make a change, then we gonna fall.
Exactly.
You're exactly
right, man. And that's what I'm saying. All around America, family. I'm gonna say, not just me by myself, but I'm saying us. We got to rally the troops. We got to sound the war drums, man. It is do or die. This is fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? And we on the, we got 2 seconds on the clock, and we got to make a last second shot. You know what I'm saying? This is sudden death, man.
That's right.
So, we got to sound the drum. That's what I'm saying. So I'm challenging black men and women all across the country to stand the hell up and get the damn fear of the white man and the fear of repression and oppression and really even on certain levels consequences out of your damn head and your psyche. If you ever play basketball, they got this thing called self-check. Where somebody's like a scrub, they really can't shoot for real. You know what I mean? And for real, in the revolutionary community, some of us is in self-check, man. We like revolutionary scrubs, man. We're not trying to hit the basket, comrade. You know what I mean? We just want to shoot. We just want to dribble the ball. No. We need people. I want people. Attorney Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz need people. The black nation needs people that want to win, that want to be on the top. You know what I'm saying? So if you got that kind of attitude, family, then hell, roll with us, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because I know what time it is, and I know that revolution is real. And I know that these crackers are getting ready every day. They planning, they plotting, they loading up their weapons, they in the woods training. They ready to take us out. You know, but we don't understand that and we don't see that. Once we see that and see what's really going on, then we'll get ready for revolution. We'll get ready. We'll load ready. We will start to collect our weapons and, you know, start to get politically educated and start to know what time it is and what's going on in the world. You know, we're way behind now because we're not understanding what's going on. And we can't always, you know, talk about turning of the cheek. We've been doing this for 400 years, turning of the cheek to the oppressor and the enemy and the colonizer. You know, we have to get up. And we're going to have to, you know, if you hit me, I'm going to hit your butt back. This is the type of mentality that we have to have because we, you know, let's think about it. We have tried to do everything for over 400 years, and we're still not free. But now it's time for us to pick up our weapons and defend ourselves and defend ourselves by any means necessary. And once we think like that, I'm telling you, we will be free.
Straight up. That's what I'm talking about, and that's real black power. So hell, we know what I say. That means we got to see each other in the trenches. You know what I mean?
That means, right. That
once we get off this radio show, we got to organize. We got to be, you know what I mean? Locked arms. We got to lock arms and go to the battlefield. The battlefield. And let me say this, man. And this ain't to you. It's just I'm just saying, the battlefield ain't in your churches. It ain't in your mosque. It ain't in your damn synagogues, it ain't in your temples, it ain't even in your offices. The battle's in the streets.
That's right.
In the streets. Get the why the hell are we sitting up in temples and mosques and churches all damn day and offices all damn day? Got to get to the streets, man. So I'm pushing the people to the streets. Ain't nothing wrong with being in, you know, different houses or different buildings. I'm just saying I got to push us the hell up out these things, man, because everybody's comfortable in your church, in your mosque, in your synagogue, in your office and all this, and then the world is going haywire in the streets.
That's right.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Right. You're right. Everything is going, you know, crazy. But I just wanted to say this also, that, you know, we got to come together, black man and black woman. We have to come together. And we have to, you know, do whatever we have to do by the name of self-defense. You know, learn your laws. Learn your gun laws in your city. Learn what, you know, how if you can carry a gun out in plain view, if you can't. Learn your laws. Learn how the law goes in self-defense in your city. You have to learn your laws. If you don't know them, these devils will play, these police officers would play you and put you in jail. But if you have the knowledge, you know, the knowledge of the law and you know what to do and when to do and what the way to do it and how to defend yourself in the name of self-defense, then they will more, you know, Caucasian people will start to respect you better because they already think that we ignorant. They always think that we dumb. So they pull you over, get up in your car knowing they don't even have the right to get up in your car. They know they don't have a right to just stop you just because you're walking down the street and check you and pet you down because black people, we must learn the law and stop being ignorant to the law. And once we learn the law and we learn what we can do, we'll be a more powerful people, and these pigs are doing what they're doing. You know, they're doing it because they know that we ain't going to do nothing about it. All we're going to do is sit in the house and complain about it. You know,
well, not today, and I gotta stop because we're right here at the end, going off
yes,
into that, to the after show. But you absolutely right, family. If we don't be revolutionaries and be Panthers, and we just gonna sit around and complain about it. But I'm saying not today, not in today's time. I will black boot stomp whoever's sitting around on the fence while our people die. You know what I'm saying? And we got the Panthers share the same spirit. So let me close out. Love you, black man. Thank you for your question and comment.
Black power.
Your question and comment. Black power to you, soldier.
Black power.
And so that's it, family. And so again, join us. Join us for the tribute, the national tribute to the Black Panther Party in Harlem, New York, this 22nd, October the 22nd. It's been power-packed. The show has been rolling. You know what I mean? But, hell, we're going to come right back at you again for another episode, another edition of Black Power Radio. And so I leave you as always like I came, of course, giving the battle cry, giving the rally cry, and, of course, sticking my black fist in the air, telling you to be strong, be bold, don't take no shit, don't compromise, and be a revolutionary and a warrior. Black Power.
Are scared all of revolution.
Niggas.
But niggas shouldn't be scared of revolution.
All niggas.
Because revolution is nothing but change. And all niggas do
all
is change. Niggas come in for murder and change into pimping clothes. Hit the streets to make some quick change.
Niggas
change their hair from black
all
to red
niggas
to blonde. And hope like hair and lips will change.
Niggas
kill other niggas just because one
niggas
didn't receive the correct change.
Niggas
change from men to women, from women to men. Niggas change.
That has been inflicted upon Negroes in this country by Uncle Sam is criminal.
Niggas are actors.
Niggas
are actors. Niggas act like they're in a hurry to catch the first act of the great white hope. Niggas try to act like Malcolm. And when a white man doesn't react towards him like he did Malcolm, niggas gonna act violently. Niggas act so cool and slick, causing white people to say, what makes you niggas act like that? Niggas act like you ain't never seen nobody act before.
I'm not an integrationist, never could be. I couldn't integrate with my enemy, and I know who my enemy is.
Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas talk about getting high and riding around in L. Niggas to get high and ride to hell. Niggas talk about pimping, pimping that, pimping what? Pimping yours, pimping mine. Just to be pimping is a hell of a line. Niggas are very untogether people. Niggas are players. Niggas are players, are players. Niggas play football, baseball, and basketball while the white man is cutting off their balls. Niggas tell you they're ready to be liberated, but when you say, let's go take our liberation, niggas reply, I was just playing. Niggas are playing with revolution and losing. Niggas are scared of revolution.
We don't want to have anything to do with any race of dogs, two-legged dogs, that will stick four-legged dogs on innocent, harmless women, children, and babies.
Niggas are lovers, are lovers, are lovers. Niggas love dear Malcolm X, but they didn't love Malcolm. Niggas love everything but themselves. But I'm a lover too. Yep, I'm a lover too. I love niggas, I love niggas, I love niggas. Because niggas are me, and I should only love that which is me. I love to see niggas go through changes, love to see niggas act, love to see niggas make them plays and shoot the shit. But there's one thing about niggas I do not love. Niggas are scared of revolution.
We declare our rank on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the right of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
I gotta do both the whole, all everything in both buildings. I come on to St. Clair every Sunday. Like, I don't come on every day. What's up, I come on last Sunday? Okay.
I'm not talking about these white guests in the new Black Panther Party. I'm talking about real guests.
I got a schedule to keep. I'm trying to. I actually want to put David X on. That's tough. Too good.